Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Lord, that as we study the Word of God, the Spirit of God might speak to our hearts, that we might see the concepts that Thou hast given here, that we might see the importance of them, and that we might strive to do all Thy will in our lives. We pray, Lord, for those that might not be saved. We pray that they might realize this, Lord, and come and get saved today, and we trust Thee for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. By way of review, set the rest of our story, let's read verses 3, 8, and 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now, the Lord is speaking here through Samuel, says, "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." That's what the Lord told King Saul to do, and this is what he did in verse 8 and 9. "And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly." So the setting here is that the Lord told Saul that he was to destroy every last thing of the Amalekites, and he did do the Lord's will, destroyed everything, but he kept the king and some of the good animals. I said last week that this is a key chapter in the Word of God on obedience, and I wanted for us to analyze three persons in this chapter. One is the Lord, the God of Israel. The second is Samuel. And the third is Saul. Last week we looked at the Lord God of Israel. And we saw his view. We saw how God looked at Saul's actions. And we saw the Lord's actions toward Saul. He had given a command for Saul to do a certain job. And Saul did indeed do the Lord's will. He did the Lord's will, what the Lord told him to do. He did, except he did not do all of it. And we might say that he finished the job his way. Saul did. Therefore, Almighty God saw it as a disobedience and as rebellion. So even though Saul did the Lord's will, not doing all of it, God saw that as rebellion, and he dealt with it. Now that's the Lord's view of Saul's actions, but how does Saul see the same thing? How does Saul see it all? Well, number one, he considers it obedience. Verse 13. "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And so what we showed last week, that Almighty God saw as disobedience, Saul sees it as having done what the Lord asked him to do. Now you know, this should teach us our tremendous lesson that Christians have to understand. And that is, there are many of God's people who would with all their heart believe that they had done what the Lord asked them to do, when in fact Almighty God looks at him and he does not see it that way at all. He sees them as being disobedient, though if you were to say, "You disobeyed," the person might say, "No, I've done what the Lord asked me to do." Saul considered it obedience. Notice how he approaches Samuel with this in verse 13. He says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord." He greets him with a typical pious greeting. You know, I've always been a good deal suspicious of folks who have spiritual phrases just dropping from their lips all the time, especially if there is not a life of faithfulness to back it up. I've always been suspicious of people who so easily say, praise the Lord and all the wonderful things that the Lord has done and so forth. They don't have the kind of life to back it up. You know, if you go to someone's house and they're bubbling all up about the Lord, but they can't make it to church, I don't see any sincerity. Now, I've been saved a long time. I've known a lot of Christians. When I was a young man, I knew a very godly old man. He left a tremendous impression upon me because he was godly. He was a Wall Street broker and he was a soul winner. He was always in the Lord's house, always helping God's people, always encouraging the folks. And I spent much time talking to him. My father went to visit him a good bit, and I spent time talking to him. And he said, "Less praise the Lord's and wonders of the Lord's." After having walked with the Lord for 40 years, 50 years, then some people only been saved a few years and just bubble all over the place, but don't have the life to back it up. Now, he spoke about the Lord. It was easy to speak to him about spiritual things. That's what he spoke about when you were with him. It wasn't the only thing he spoke about. He spoke easily about spiritual things. But he didn't give it all that embellishments that I've heard from some. And you know, in fact, he said, "Let's praise the Lord's and words about the Lord," than my aunt, who seemed to have some kind of a Sunday morning and evening and Wednesday evening affliction that didn't bother her too much other times of the week, but on Sundays and Wednesdays, illness came upon her greatly. But when you spoke to her, oh, she could flow with words about the wonders of what the Lord had done in her life. Well, I am very suspicious of folks like that unless they have a life that can back it up of walking with the Lord. He greets Samuel here, oh, so piously. "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." He says he's obeyed. This man says that he has obeyed the Lord. You know, man has an awful time seeing any wrong in himself. Isn't that true? He really does. He has an awful time seeing any wrong in himself. And you know what? It has to be that this is man's greatest sin, as he cannot see wrong in himself. He says, "I obey. I've done what the Lord asked me to do." Now look at what God's view is it of it is. Verse 22 and 23. Same situation. God asked him to do something. He says, "I did it." Now let's see what the Lord said he did. Verse 22, "And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram." He hasn't obeyed. Verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft," because he brought back the king alive. "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Saul says, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." God says, "You have not kept the word of God." It's rebellion, like witchcraft. It's stubbornness. You know, he did the Lord's will. But in the matter of killing those that were to be wiped out, he killed all but one. And he said, and because he killed all but one, he said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. God says, you have rebelled, you have not kept the word of God. Child of God, this ought to do something in your heart, you know that? It ought to do something in your heart. It really ought to. It shows that the Lord is not impressed with what we think about our actions. He is impressed with whether we have done all His word or not. This is serious. He says, I've rejected you as king because you have rejected the word of the Lord. It's a tremendous concept. And it's a concept, obviously, that many have not taken to heart. If you have a crusade to win the lost, like a Billy Graham crusade, but he disobeys Galatians chapter 1 and 2 John, is that obedience? Not according to God's word, it's not obedience. If you want to influence a nation for righteousness, as Jerry Falwell says he does, but disobeys Galatians chapter 1 and 2 John, is that obedience? Not according to God's word, it's not obedience. If you put your children in a Christian school, but you will not discipline them at home, is that obedience? Not according to God's word, that's not obedience. And you say, well, I don't believe in spanking children. Almighty God would say to you, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee. Oh, it's God's help rearing my children, but I'm not going to do it the way it says in Proverbs. So they reject you. If you attend the services of the local church, but you speak against the Lord's people there, does the Lord God of heaven consider that you're an obedient child of God? No, it would fit under the same category. All of the above kind of people would say, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But that's not what God says. You do not choose and pick the things that you want to do out of the Word of God and eliminate what you don't want out of the Word of God and expect God's blessing. He's not going to do it. He didn't do it for King Saul, whom he chose and anointed with the Holy Spirit. He will not do it for you. He says, well, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. However, he's challenged. Verse 14, he is challenged. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? It is, by the way, Saul is evidence to the contrary. That's what that verse says. And so having heard that, Saul, being the good human being that he is able to come up with what I would call the innocent statement of fact. The innocent statement of fact. It always sounds like a statement of fact and always sounds innocent. Whenever a man sins, and this includes women, of course, whenever a man sins and is confronted with the sin, they can always come up with an innocent statement of fact that makes them look so very, very innocent, and that's what he's going to give to us in verse 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Samuel said, you said you performed the will of the Lord, and what are all these sheep doing here?
He says, well, they brought him up to sacrifice to the Lord, you know. It's like, well, nothing wrong with that, right? You know, man's a master of this. He really is. He is a master of taking his sin and making it look like it's really nothing. There's nothing really wrong with it. It really is. Do you remember Aaron? Moses comes down off the mountain, and what does he see? He sees this golden calf. It's an idol. It is perhaps the thing that Almighty God hates maybe more than anything else, is an idol. And Moses looks at this idol, and he's left Aaron in charge, and he says to Aaron, what is this doing here? I'm paraphrasing, you understand. And Aaron says, well, the people, sound like this fella too, right? The people, you know, they brought their gold and their silver earrings and all the bracelets and things like that, and we put them in the fire, and lo and behold, look what came out of the fire. It's dead. You know, that's what I call an innocent statement of fact, you know, which is not so innocent. Well, look what came out. He neglected to say that he fashioned it. Saul neglected to say that whatever the people did, he was in charge and responsible. Not only that, but a lot of times they like to, you know, get very vague on these things, but then he throws in this, and this is the cure-all. Here's the cure-all that shows that it's all right to disobey. It's all right to disobey. Here's the cure-all. You know what it is? That people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. There it is. Here's the cure-all. We brought these back to sacrifice unto the Lord. That's why they're brought back. This is done for a godly reason. You know what I think of when I see this? Christians don't do this because we don't offer sacrifices. You know what the great one is for Christians? When they do wrong, you know what they... You know what a Christian always says when he does wrong? I believe it's the Lord's will. Oh, I'll tell you. Hardly will I ever see somebody that wants to do wrong and won't say that's really saved that will say, "Well, I believe I prayed about. I believe it's the Lord's will." It's always I prayed about it. And I believe it's the Lord's will. Oh, how did you get that? You know? Oh, well, the Lord put it in your head. He drove it through your head, you know? No. You know what it usually is? It's the heart. The heart says, I want to, so I pray about it, you know, and I pray, and I'm convinced I want, because I was convinced before I wanted to do it anyway, see? I've never heard a person say, that I can ever remember, I never heard a person say, upon making an important decision, that they said, you know, I went to the Word of God, and I read the Word of God, and I considered what the Lord said in the Word of God, and I based my decision on what He told me in the Word of God. You don't hear that when a person is doing wrong. Well, it's the Lord's will. You know what? It's just like this. He thought he could cover up this sin by saying, we're going to sacrifice unto the Lord. Christians can cover up their erroneous actions by saying, oh, I believe it's the Lord's will. I asked somebody recently, tell me exactly how you arrived at your belief that it was the Lord's will. You know, a Christian can see as much in circumstances as a heathen can see in the stars. And it's no more the Lord's will. And again, I'll tell you something else. Over the course of my 36 years of being saved, I've hardly heard the godly men that I knew speaking about, you know, it was the Lord's will for the Lord's, always the Lord's will. They did what was right. Now, there is the Lord's will. There is. And we ought to seek to do the Lord's will. But I'll tell you, most of the time when I see somebody's going to do something wrong, I always say, it's the Lord's will. Well, you know, this kind of statement that he produced, this innocent statement of fact, I've found that we get the same kind of things in these days, in the 70s and the 80s, as Samuel did 3,000 years ago. When I've had to confront people, I don't like to confront people. I'll never confront you on some matter unless you absolutely force me to. But when I've had to, I've always gotten wide-eyed innocence. Just like you have here. Wide-eyed innocence. I could see Saul saying, well, you know, I didn't know I was supposed to bring back the best of the sheep. You know, that's what we always do. Whenever we win a war, we always bring back the good spoil. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. And if Samuel would have pointed out, well, I told you, he said, well, I don't remember you saying that. You know, people are wide-eyed innocents, and you know, they don't have the same concept God has. I remember a young woman wanted to do something in the local church, and I said to her, I said, you know, that would be all right with me if you were faithful. And so she said, all right, I'll be faithful. And after a while went by, a few months, 3 months, 4 months, asked me again. And I said, you know, the last time we talked, I said, it's a matter of faithfulness. And she sounded so much like Saul, I could have dropped off the chair. She said, I was faithful. I was faithful. And I said, you know, we must have a terribly different concept of what faithfulness is. You know, I'm not overly impressed with someone's faithful devotion to Almighty God that gets out to a Sunday morning church service that would amount to 8 or 9 times a year. Think about it. How some folks are. If you got there a little less than once a month, and in about 3 months she'd been out to church twice on a Sunday morning, that would amount to about 8 or 9 hours a year devoted to the Lord, if it was devoted at all. She said, I was faithful. I said, I'm sorry. I have this different concept of faithfulness. My concept of faithfulness is then when you want the Lord and you're in His house, every time the doors are open and something's going on for the Lord. Well, that's how Saul was, you know. I did perform, but that's not how God saw it. Go on to verse 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? You see how it looks to the Lord. Evil in the sight of the Lord. He says, I performed it. And the message he gets back, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And in spite of all this, notice he's going to restate his obedience in verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekite. For all this, he still can't see it. You know, we would do well right now to evaluate if we have any sheep around us
that might impress others of how spiritual we are, but we're disobedient. You notice this. He says, I have. He first starts out saying, I performed it. Samuel said, what's all this cheap? I got all this evidence around here. You haven't done what God said. And he said, well, I have done it. He's still maintaining his innocence. You know, I'll tell you something. You can shout it from the rooftops, but Almighty God is not going to accept it if you haven't. You can't fool him. You can't fool with him. You know, I'll tell you something. There are parents who see nothing wrong with disagreeing with our stand. Well, you know, that pastor, he's not right on everything, you know. And their children hear that in the parent. And I'll tell you something. When they get to the age where they itch to do wrong, there is nothing that they will be glad to grasp more than that type of statement. I've warned this many times before. I'll warn it many times again. And people will still do wrong. There is nothing that they would want to see more or hear more than their parents say, you know, he's not right on everything. And when they want to get their hands on worldly things, and when they want to start to do wrong that the parent is very unhappy with, they will remember that their daddy and their mommy said, you know, that pastor's not right on everything, and then they got a few everythings they want to do, that they're just happy to know that the pastor's not right on everything. And then, you know, those kids get out of control and the parent wishes they were under control and doesn't understand it and starts to say, I follow the Lord, I put him in Christian school, I go to church, I know what the Lord wants me to do, and why are my children all out of sorts? And then there are parents who are really crafty. They are crafty because they have heard me say such a thing. And so they say to themselves, I'll not say it so my children can't hear it. Because even though I disagree with him, I want my children not to get involved in all these different kinds of sins. Says, I will be quiet about it. However, the children are not fooled because your life teaches them otherwise. When they hear the preaching and they see the rebellion to live that way from their parents, they say, I too can be that way, only they'll be worse than you. Because they're young. And they'll be disobedient to that what is preached. And still think they are obedient to God, just like Saul thought he was obedient to God. Well, I'm just as good as anybody else there. But you can say it. But Almighty God is not going to stand for it. He's going to say, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee. If you will not follow, what are you trying to say, preacher? Who do you think you are? You think you are inspired of God? No. But just by making those kind of thoughts in your mind, it says you want to get around the word of God. You want to get around the preaching. I'll tell you something. unless you could prove the preaching wrong scripturally. And I'll tell you, the only way you could do that is if you could get yourself 5 or 6 commentaries that all of the good godly men would accept as being reasonable on the Word of God, and show that I was off base, you'd just be trying to grab at some straw to do what you wanted to do. Unless you can prove scripturally that something is not from God, better be careful about throwing it out. You better be mighty careful about throwing it out. Anything that is my opinion, and it ought to go. But if it's based on the Word of God, you better be careful about throwing it out.
When you want your children not to be in trouble, it'll all come back upon your head. The Lord saw this as rebellion and witchcraft, but how did Saul see it? Number one, he considered it obedience. Number two, he blames his sin on the people. Verse 21. But the people took the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. He said it was the people. He blamed it on the people. You know, we're very good at that. You know, I say, if it wasn't for my husband, I'd do this. If it wasn't for my wife, I'd do this for the Lord. Well, you know, the preacher said one time, I heard him say this one time, and that's why I'm doing this. And we blame others. This kind of comes naturally. Saul said, oh, it was the people. He was the king. Sorry, Saul, you don't have the right when you're the king to blame it on the people. And the Lord just does not accept blaming others. Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. He wouldn't accept this. God would not accept it. A preacher who caves in to people to not obey all is rejected by the Lord. I believe that. I believe when a preacher will cave in to the pressures that people bring upon him, I believe he's rejected by the Lord. Though he may continue conducting services for the rest of his life, I believe he's rejected and useless. Until he gets that thing right. It's true of the lost, the sinner who stands at the judgment and says, well, you know, my family would have disowned me if I would have taken Christ as my Savior. There's going to be no excuse with God. My friends would have laughed at me. There's going to be no excuse with God. I would have lost my friends. There's going to be no excuse with God to be cast into hell fire. It just will not stand up. God is not going to say it's the people. Another thing that's similar to this, I've heard from folks, you know, I say, well, you know, I remember a fellow I talked to who was from Texas. I was talking to him about his soul. And he said, well, my parents and the church I went to was like yours, but they were so strict there, I didn't want any part of it. So I didn't want those things. I said, it was too strict. Blaming on the people for being too strict. What it really boils down to is he didn't like the things of God and he loved sin. And so he didn't get saved. Blame it on other people will not work. The Lord sees it as rebellion. How does King Saul see it? Number one, he considers it obedience. Number two, he blames the sin on the people. But when the evidence mounts up, we get number three. And number three is he needs to give lip service repentance. Verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, this is right after he said, thou art rejected as king. Right after he said, thou art rejected as king, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He's in a corner now. He is surrounded by sheep. He has nearby him King Agag, so the sheep and the
and the king testify that he didn't do all the Lord told him to do. And he's got the word of the Lord that has just come to him from Samuel, which says, because of your sin, because of your rebellion, you are rejected by God. And at this point, now he's in such a corner, he knows he can't get out, and he's heard that he's rejected as king, and that hits him with a tremendous impact that he's rejected as king. And so he says, oh, I have sinned. Sounds repentant. In fact, the average Christian would say he has repented, but he hasn't repented. The average Christian would say, oh, he's repented and it's under the blood and let's give him another chance. But saying I have sinned is not good enough. Do you know that? Saying I have sinned is not good enough. There must be truth in the heart. This is not repentance. Though it sounds like it, it comes from the lips and not from the heart. And when your confession comes from the lips and not from the heart, it is not accepted by Almighty God. He says, I have sinned, for I have transgressed. He admits it. But he's doing it with an ulterior motive. He has an ulterior motive. And Almighty God will not accept your ulterior motives. Whatever you do for God, you better do in truth and mean it. That's why I've said so many times, whenever I bring a person to the place of salvation, I say, would you like to accept the Lord as your Savior? Would you like me to pray with you? And they say, yes. I say, I'm going to pray a certain kind of prayer. But don't put your faith in the words of that prayer. It's not like magic. I say, you won't get saved unless you mean those words with all your heart and soul. It is not the saying of words. It is the meaning of it in the heart. And he didn't mean it in the heart. Notice what he wants to accomplish by saying, I have sinned. He wants to save face. What's that mean? It means he wants to look good in the eyes of people. Here it is, verse 30. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. Yet I have sinned. In other words, he wants to make an admission of sin here. And he says, yet honor me before the elders of my people. I have sinned, but I don't want to look bad. And before Israel, I have sinned, but I don't want to look bad. Samuel, stick by me so I still look like king, so I still don't look like God has rejected me. And this is what every person does when they do wrong and they're caught and they don't want to change. They want a way to get around it. They'll admit what they have to admit, if it'll help make them look good in front of everybody else. It is not repentance. It is lip service. And Almighty God doesn't go for your lip service. He only goes when you have a heart to change. And he said, by the grace of God, I will change. You know the very thing here about Saul that is so bad? He doesn't want to really look like the sinner he was before the people. And that keeps him from true repentance. And you know, it is that same very heart that keeps people from coming down an aisle to be saved. So I don't want people to see I have a spiritual need. I don't want it to be in the eyes of people that I was lost and I need to get saved. Or I was far from God and I need to get right with God. The same principle. Phony repentance does not fool the Lord. He knows whether you're true-hearted or not. What a chapter this is. What a contrast it is. Saul is told to do something. He does what God tells him, but he doesn't do all of it. And the Lord says, it's rebellion. You're rejected. How does Saul see it? Saul sees it first as obedience. He next blames it on the people. And when he's put in the corner, he finally gives lip service repentance. That's how he sees it. He does not see it like God sees it. And now I would ask you the question, how do you see your life? Do you see it as God sees it? Or do you have the kind of spiritual blindness that Saul had? And you know, the answer to that question is critical to God's hand of blessing upon you in your life. He wouldn't let Saul get away with it, and he anointed Saul king. And he's not going to let you get away with the disobedience either. How do you see yourself in your own eyes or in the Lord's eyes? May God help you that it be as in the Lord's eyes. Let's bow for prayer. So our heads are bowed. This, no doubt, could be a time of tremendous decision for many folks here as to whether you'll obey all or not, to whether you'll see yourself as the Lord sees you, or whether you'll walk on in spiritual blindness to your own sin, perhaps even thinking that you can walk and get away with it. Oh, my friends, Saul was anointed by God and given the Holy Spirit. And the Lord did not let him get away with it. The Lord is not unrighteous. But he chastens those he loves. And if you will say, I have obeyed all, when you haven't obeyed all, you're not going to get away with it. You may say, preacher, it would be hard for me to change. I would say, dear friend, it will be harder for you not to change, though it will be hard to change. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, child of God, this morning, on some matter, would you say, Lord, I've sinned. I mean it, Lord. I've sinned. Please forgive that sin. Lord, help me to get on the right track to do right and to follow through doing right. Lord, I don't want to give a lip service repentance to try to smooth things over, but I want to give a heartfelt repentance and start following the way I should. Maybe your family is at stake. And if not your family, something is at stake. Would you repent? Would you turn around and say, Lord, I want to start following all. Lord, maybe there's some things I should know. I'm going to find out what they are and I want to do them. And Lord, when I fail, help me to get up off the ground and follow again so I can have your blessing. I need your blessing, Lord. Oh, dear friends, your preacher preaches these things so that you might find the blessing of the Lord and not the muddled torment of a life not walking with the Lord. I hope you take it as that. Thank you.
It is not that I want to criticize God's people and hurt you and lift up myself as spiritually superior. I don't want to do that. I've had my struggles. I know what it is to struggle over things. And I preach these things so you might find the blessing of the Lord on your life and you'd be so glad you did. Won't you change if you need to? Won't you go home today? Say to your children, we've got to start following the Lord. I'm going to do those things that are hard. The Lord's strengthening me. Won't you do that if you're saved? Would you make that decision right now if you're saved? And you're not sure you're saved. If you're not sure you're saved, would you say, I am willing. Whatever the Word of God says is the way of salvation, I will follow it all. I won't say my own way of salvation. I'll do whatever the Word of God says the way of salvation. And would you say right now in the quietness of your heart, Lord, please save my soul for all eternity. If you've never done that before, would you do that? Say, I'll be willing, whatever the Bible teaches the way of salvation, I will accept it because it's from the Lord. And I don't want to impose my own judgment on it. I don't want to be like Saul. I want to be accepted by him. Let's pray silently. May God help us to do what's right in this invitation time. As our heads are bowed, let me first give an invitation to you. If you're saved, you save and say, preacher, the Lord has spoken to my heart. I know there are things that I need to repent of in truth, and I want to get them squared away with the Lord, start walking with the Lord the way I should. If that's true of you, would you raise your hand and let me know? Yes, I see those hands. Lord bless you. Yes, I see your hand. Lord bless you. Yes, I see your hand. You can put it down. Yes, I see your hand. Lord bless you. You can put it down. Many hands are there, others. Where there's some that say, I don't care what this preacher says. I'm going to go on my way. Oh, do you know how dangerous that could be? You'd be gambling that I'm dead wrong before Almighty God. What an awful gamble when I took all this from Scripture. Is there anyone else? Yes, I see your hand, Lord bless you. Yes, I see your hand, Lord bless you. Anyone else? Yes, I see those hands, Lord bless you. Is there someone here who said, preacher, I've never been saved by seeing what all the Word of God has said and by trusting completely in it and trusting in the Lord as my Savior, but I'd like to be saved this morning that way. Would you raise your hand and let me know? Father in heaven, many hands have been raised this morning. And no doubt, Lord, because this is a very difficult subject, there were some difficult decisions made. But Lord, I am confident in the God of heaven that those that make these decisions and start to follow Thee with all their heart and soul will in the course of time be able to see the wonderful blessing of it. And that they will be so delighted and glad that they made such a decision. But Lord, I also know that before that time of blessing, there will be a time of testing. Lord, my prayer is for these that have raised their hand that the Spirit of God, by supernatural power, will take the hearts of these that have raised their hand and strengthen them in these next weeks of testing
to remind them to do what is right and to follow through and to do well so that they can be blessed by Thee by doing all that the Word of God has said. Lord, if there's somebody here who needs to be saved, I pray that they might come and be saved this morning. Lord, we ask Thee these things. We trust Thee for them. While our heads are bowed, before we sing a song, there may be folks here, raise your hand. And it may be that you have some questions, some confusion about how you particularly would go about doing all. I want you to avail yourself. If you need that, you might want to come this morning and speak with someone who could counsel you. Or perhaps you might want to speak to me. I'd be glad to speak to you. Maybe we could set up an appointment, or you could call me on the phone and say, Pastor, I'd like to get going. I'm not sure how I've done this or I've not done this, but there's something I'd like to talk to you about. Please do it. The decision you made today is so important. It might have so much bearing on so many things. Please find out. I don't try to impose myself on people's lives. I try to help. So don't be afraid to call. It may cost you money to call, but it might be the best investment that you ever make. Please avail yourself. Don't let the decision go by the wayside in the next 2 hours. Make sure you know what course you're going to follow and follow it. And when you fall, get up again, and the Lord will bless you. I trust you'll do those things.